Hello and welcome to
The Heart of Healing Show.
I'm your host, Natasha Slayton.
And I'm your co-host, Sophie Starr.
Join us each week as we explore the magic of alternative healing modalities, what they are, how they work, and the parts that have helped us.
We'll be interviewing world-renowned healers and experts within different fields.
All the while sharing personal stories of pain and perseverance. So tune in to tap into your true potential and learn with us as we dive into a world of possibilities.
Have some laughs.
And some cries. And ultimately, get to the heart of healing. Hello and welcome back to another episode. Today we have an incredible Reiki and energy healer, more specifically rainbow energy healer, and I'll have her tell you a little bit more about that, but she's also a very close friend of mine. I've worked with her for many years and she's such an amazing person that we've become close friends as well. So I want to introduce to you Meredith Sloan.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello. Nice welcome. It's so good to see you. I love the rainbow in the background.
Perfect.
So yeah. Fitting. I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that you were really my first energy healer that I worked with. I'd worked with like other spiritual advisors, but I think you were the first person that I ever worked with who really moved energy through me. And I remember the first time that I came in for a session with you, and I really didn't know what to expect. And it was right after I lost my band member and one of my best friends, Simone, and really was at such a crazy point in my life and didn't really know what to do with all of this energy. And I was, you know, doing drugs and drinking alcohol and just feeling really lost on so many levels. And I went and I did a session with you. And I remember leaving and feeling like the world had been lifted off my shoulders, that I'd lost 1,000 pounds. Wow. And not just in physical weight, but my body felt lighter, but also in all of this emotional and spiritual weight. And it was just the most incredible thing. And I've since worked with you so many times. And every time I go in, it's something different because there's always layers to peel back and different things, different emotions, different physical ailments to deal with. And I wanted you to tell our listeners a little bit about what this energy work is, how it works, how you got into it.
Yeah, I think what many people don't realize is that, you know, everything is energy. So our thoughts, our emotions, and if we don't properly release them, they get stuck in the body. So there's different kinds of energy. We have heavy energy, which when we're depressed, you can feel it. It feels like there's 20 pounds of energetic weight on you. You know, whereas when you're really happy, it's like you have so much energy. You can do anything. You can, you know, sleep for like 3 hours when you're in love and get up and, you know,
oh, yeah,
have more energy than ever. So there's like really a tangible difference between these energies. And we come into the world as children as high vibrational beings. This is why we fall so in love with babies. They're just that pure love vibration. And then as we're figuring out how to get love and how to be safe in the world, we start to create patterns. And it's usually ways that we block ourselves from expressing ourselves, from fully being in that higher vibration, that expression. So an example I always give is kids are so verbal and honest and, you know, they will say whatever's on their mind with no filter. And then parents will tell them, don't speak to your brother this way. That's not a nice thing to say. So all of a sudden we start to become conscious of what's coming out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we, you know, we need to release things like sadness, fear, anger, but it doesn't feel safe. So we hold that in the body. And when we don't properly release it, it starts to bring our vibration down. And that's what actually, you know, sits in the body. And if we don't deal with it, it becomes more dense as we continue to collect energy. And then it turns into illness.
Mm.
That makes so much sense. I love the way, Meredith, that you frame a lot of maybe the unhelpful or dysfunctional habits that we develop begin as a coping mechanism as children. So they kind of begin as these wonderful protectors because we don't know any better. But then long term, they don't really serve us and we don't really know what to do with them. And it sounds like energy work can really be a release for those things coming from someone. I've never had energy work done. I'm brand new to all of this. So it really sounds like it's a way to kind of move that energy because I know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate. I mean, growing up, it was very much, there's a way to behave and there's a way to behave in public and with others. And it doesn't matter what you're feeling. You just shut up and act right. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, I've had so many physical ailments like bone spurs in my neck and degenerated discs. And, you know, I know I'm learning from Natasha, so much of that could be stored energy that's never moved. And so I would love to hear a little bit more about that too, just like the moving of energy, not only physically, but like emotionally and mentally, how that can be healing as well.
Yeah, well, you know, like Natasha had said during our session, when she left, it felt like, you know, 1,000 pounds of weight had been lifted off. And the thing is, like, if you collect a little bit of energy in your body that's kind of heavy, it doesn't really make a difference. But because we've created these subconscious patterns over many years, many decades, they sit in the body. And like I said, they become more dense and more dense, and they actually block energy from flowing through the body, what can cause illness. So the more energetic blocks we have in the body, the harder it is for the body to actually heal itself. So by moving that energy, and exercise can help a little bit, but that's more on like a physical level. That's still great because you're moving stuff out of the body, but actually connecting to higher vibrational energy, which is what energy work is. It's channeling a higher vibration of energy into the person's body. So it helps clear that heavy energy. It helps then raise the person's vibration, which ultimately gets that energy moving faster through the body. It also kind of lifts consciousness. So you start to see patterns that you have that maybe you weren't aware of before. Yeah. And really, you know, like you said, we actually have like a 5-year-old that is running our lives these days. And, you know, we did develop these patterns when they suited us at that time, but because they're subconscious, because we don't actually realize that we've created them, we keep running the same patterns and they seem very normal to us. So we don't even know that we're doing it. And then we keep collecting that same vibration of energy in the body. So, you know, I've really realized through my practice, it's not just clearing the energy. That's really, really important, all the stored energy, but it's actually getting underneath that and recognizing what those patterns are so that you don't keep collecting the same energy in the body.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got into energy work and the story through that?
Yeah, so I had a couple of companies and I was working with my sister. We had a lingerie company and this was over 15 years ago. Long time ago. But we were at a trade show in Las Vegas called Magic, and we were sleeping one night and I saw the light on in the bathroom and I kind of just had this feeling that something was up. My sister was in there. And when I asked her what was going on, she said she didn't know, but something really weird had happened in her brain. Like she felt something in her brain and she looked it up on the internet as you do.
Yep.
And she said it's all the symptoms of a stroke. But she was 24 at the time. So that was totally crazy because in our head, it was like strokes happen to old people,
right?
You know? Yeah. And 24-year-old has a stroke. So we kind of wrote it off and thought, oh, she's probably dehydrated or just tired from, you know, from the trade show. So we went back the next day and throughout the day, she just started to lose, you know, strength and energy on the left side of her body. And we knew something was wrong. So we packed everything up. we jumped in the car, drove back to Los Angeles. And by the time we got to the doctor, she was 75% paralyzed on the left side of her body.
So crazy.
Wow.
And it was a stroke, which was pretty crazy. We asked the doctor, you know, what could have caused this for a 24-year-old? And he said it was probably stress.
Wow.
So that was pretty eye-opening. And, you know, she tried, they put her on steroids, they had her doing physical therapy, all sorts of stuff. Nothing was really helping.
Interesting.
And at that point, she said, I will try anything. And this healer, through coincidence, showed up in her life.
She said that in quotation marks for those that are listening and not watching.
Showed up in her life, and she started working with her. And within a year, she was 100% healed.
Wow.
And she has no symptoms. She has two babies now and a third one on the way.
Such an incredible story. And so through that, that's what ignited your passion to really pursue this for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was miraculous. And I had always been really attracted to the energetic world. I was always, you know, feeling spirits when I was a kid. I didn't really understand them. I was a little bit scared, but I always had a very strong connection to the unseen. And when I saw what could be done in a positive way, because I'd always avoided it before because it was kind of scary. But when I saw her results and what had happened, it was this immediate connection and desire to just dive in and see what was there.
Wow.
And so we both ended up training with this healer for about 2 years. And I was still working at my other two companies, but this was just something I loved and was fascinated by and was really my gift. It was really natural for me. So yeah, I started just working on friends and family. And they started telling people and they started telling people. And pretty soon I thought, wow, I think I can charge for this. Yes,
absolutely. I started working with you way into your practice, but I know that I've told so many friends about you and just like everyone, like
yes.
You walk into a session and you feel one way and you leave feeling completely different. And then just all of these things start to align in your life. And like, I mean, I would just feel so heavy and dark and have all these, I don't know, stuff going on, you know, my ego getting in the way, my resistance, just full of resistance, and then walk out and on cloud nine and just feeling light as a feather and, you know, starting to attract more money and more this and more that and getting more ideas. And it's just such a beautiful tool for healing. And I'm so thankful that I have it in my life. And through my work with you, I think is where I really got into the concept of chakras and started to learn a lot more about that. And I know you work with the chakras a lot, or chakras, as my current yoga teacher is like trying to drill into our head. But I still say chakras. So apologies for anyone who's like, it's chakras. But I know you work a lot with colors. And what I found so interesting about working with the concept of chakras, which is such an ancient concept, and it's so much more scientific than we realize, even the modern, you know, medical symbol, which is, how do we say it? The Caduceus? Is that how
I
you
say the
it?
Snake thing? I don't know.
it resembles, you know, the chakra. Me too, if we're being realistic. But yeah, in school, I just learned this name and I don't even remember what it's called. But it's so fascinating to me because it literally resembles the exact, I guess, symbolism of the chakra system and the way that it spirals up the body. And so we're literally looking at that even through modern medicine. And through working with you, I really learned the science behind all of that and that each chakra is associated not only with a specific color, but because they're each a different frequency, you know, they're associated with different organs and different physical ailments and different, or I should say not different, they are different, but specific physical ailments, specific emotional ailments, specific food groups that you should eat to like, you know, treat each one's and music frequencies. Can you talk about all of that? I'm so such a nerd for the science, and I love bridging the gap between science and spirit, especially on this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Chakras first came from India back in like the 8th century BC. So really, really old. And that is before any kind of scientific information. And you know, like you said, nowadays there's all sorts of studies coming out, and I really believe in the next 10 years or so, we're going to be blown away by how much we actually learn about energy in general. But the word chakra actually means wheel of light. Mm. And color is frequency of light. So in the chakra system, so the chakra system's kind of like a map. This is how I see it. It's a map that governs both physical and emotional aspects of who we are. So it's a really amazing way to understanding our energetic system. And we start with the root chakra, which is the base of the whole system. And that one vibrates at the color red, which is the slowest frequency, which is what we want. Because if you think about the foundation of the energetic system, like a house, you want to have that foundation deep and strong and have gravity and be heavy so that when you build higher and higher, you're able to actually, you know, have that strength from the bottom. And if there's an earthquake, then it kind of sways instead of having everything collapse and crumble. So we start with that base frequency. And as we go up the chakra system, it starts with the color red and it goes up in a rainbow. Mm-hmm. And as we get to the top, to the violet, that's the fastest frequency. So as we move, we're letting go of matter. We're letting go of heaviness. We're letting go of earth energy. And when we arrive at the top, at the crown, it's like pure spirit energy. So we're moving in, you know, the method of life where we're born, we're on this earth plane. And as we age and go up, we move up towards that letting go into spirit world, which is violet.
Wow.
I geek out over this. And I would love for the listeners, if you could go through maybe very briefly, because I know it's very involved, each of the chakras and maybe a couple of like the emotional or associations, or, you know, like the sacral is creativity and that kind of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. So like I said, we start with the root, and the root is the color red. It's the foundation of the chakra system. So the root is really about survival and feeling safe. So it's the first chakra developed in utero. And, you know, when we're in our mother's womb, everything's provided for us naturally. We have shelter, we have food, we have everything we need to survive. And then we're born and we don't actually have the language to ask for what we need. So there's this fear that can develop of, are we going to survive? Are we safe? Are we going to have our needs met? Mm-hmm. So a lot of root chakra is based around primal fears, having those needs met. So things around home, finance, physical health, being kicked out of the tribe, having our needs met, everything that we need to feel really safe and grounded. And then we move up to sacral. So once we have our safety taken care of, then we expand up into sacral, which is orange. And that's about connecting relationships with other people. It's intimacy, it's sexuality, creativity, flow, and pleasure. So once we have our needs taken care of, then we can move into pleasure. So if you think about the workday, you go, you take care of making your money, you come home, and what do you want to do? You want to feel good. You want to relax, take a bath, you want to have a glass of wine, whatever that is. So then we move from that connection up into the solar plexus, which is the color yellow. And in solar plexus, it's all about ego. It's about you as an individual. It's about your life purpose. It's about your self-confidence, who you are in the world. And we move from there. Once you figure that out, we move from there into the heart chakra, which is the color green. And this is all about sharing. So sharing those gifts with others, connection with others. And it's really on more of a global scale. Mm-hmm. So intimate relationships is more sacral, like that kind of love, but heart chakra is unconditional love. So this is passion. This is forgiveness. This is, you know, reaching out, sharing your gifts with others from your heart space. Then we move to the throat, which is the color blue. And the throat is about taking all of that stuff that's inside and really expressing it to the outside world. So it's speaking your truth, it's expressing all of your gifts. So it's taking the inner and bringing it outward, that expression. Then we move up to the third eye, which is the color indigo. And third eye is vision, it's dreaming, it's your intuition, your clairvoyance. And it's really about letting go of the mind and trusting outside of the five senses. So really connecting to that world of energy that's beyond our mental understanding of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we move to the crown, which is the color violet, which I said is the fastest vibration. And this is really our pure connection to spirit. And it's, you know, that final let go. So it's looking at all of the things we're attached to that don't serve us and being able to let go and really be in peace with all that kind of shows up for us.
Wow.
Isn't that so cool?
That's so cool. And it makes sense with each place as you're talking that that chakra is in the body. Mm-hmm. Like I intuitively kind of would think that the bottom red would be heavier, you know, would be the grounding. Like it makes sense intuitively as well.
When you talk about something, for example, like solar plexus and how that's, you know, your willpower and your confidence, and you meet someone for the first time, and even if someone might not be familiar with energy, like we really all are familiar with energy way more than we think. And you walk into a room, you meet someone for the first time, and you immediately get a gut reaction. Mm-hmm. That's your solar plexus. That's your gut. That's why we say, listen to your gut.
Okay.
And it's literally speaking to you. And then you think of, it's wild because like I'll go into a session or just do any kind of energy healing work or moving energy through the body, and you might have a headache, and all of a sudden you do some energy work and then the headache's gone, and it's like because it's related to some kind of emotional thing, but you can literally feel it in your sixth chakra.
Sure.
It's so wild. It's like all of this stuff, or like, you know, period cramps, and that's sacral. And it's like, what are you not dealing with? It's related to the second chakra that is maybe, you know, adding to these cramps that you're experiencing or causing them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's huge.
I mean, even going along with that too, like I always think about for people who are more, you know, maybe more logically minded or more in the senses, like even with something like love, I mean, I can't quantify the love I have for my dog or my parents, but I know that it's real.
I feel it in your heart.
I feel it in my heart. I know that it's real. So many things, you know, quantifiability doesn't necessarily determine if something's true necessarily.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we're not really encouraged as children to connect to energy. You know, as kids, a lot of people have, you know, invisible friends and whatnot, and it's, you know, play, and it's not, we're not encouraged to connect to that world of energy, to connect to our intuition, to listen to our bodies. You know, there's a million books out there on how to eat and how to have good sex and all these things where we're not encouraged to go inward and actually connect to what's happening within us. And when we don't do that, then we can't actually really connect to what's outside of us.
Yeah.
But we all are born with like amazing intuition. It's just not developed, or we just don't trust it. And yes, we can totally feel energy, and it's kind of like wine, almost like a wine connoisseur, sommelier, where if somebody says to me, you know, what do you taste in this wine? I'm like, it's red, you know, someone who's like studied in it and is a sommelier can say, oh, there's a hint of chocolate and cherries. And I'm like, what are they talking about?
Right.
You know, is that real? But it's the same thing with energy. Once you start to pay attention and once you start to explore it, you really start to identify all the differences. So, you know, when I meet someone or connect with someone, immediately I can tune into all of their energy and I'm like, oh, their solar plexus is blocked, or oh, I can feel that their heart is shut down.
Wow.
And it's really a practice that's available to everyone. Once you start to pay attention, you really start to fine tune and feel all the different versions and where they lie in people's bodies.
Wow.
I remember I referred a friend to you one time, and he went to you and he was so not open to any of this, but like the biggest skeptic on the planet. And he came to me because he's like, I know you're into this weird stuff. And like, I just need anything to make me feel better. And like, I know that you're on the right path. Like, what can I do? So I sent him to Meredith, And he called me afterward and was like, what the fuck? He's like, I don't cry. She did not, because when Meredith's working, like she doesn't, you don't really put your hands on anyone. It's over. And okay. It's just, you feel this beautiful release of energies that are in you. And he's like, I just started crying like a baby.
Ooh. No.
And the rest of the things he said were just so beautiful to hear, because he was such a perfect example of someone who does not really necessarily believe in all this, or he doesn't understand it. Now he believes in it. But it's just like he experienced it firsthand.
Wow.
And completely helped transform his life. But he was just blown away. And I love stories like that, because they're just, you know, you can go in not even, you need to be ready to receive the healing.
Okay.
And open to it to a certain extent. But yeah, it's just, I love to understand it. That's my ego. That's my mind working. But it's just such a beautiful thing. And I also remember another time that we, I attended a workshop of yours, Mare, and it was an energy workshop. And what else would it be? But it was like more like EMFs and energetic protection and that kind of energy work. And it was with my mom. And it was one of the, I think it was the last mother-daughter day we had together.
Wow.
And it was like, what a beautiful last mother-daughter day to have together. We had so much fun. We laughed so much. I think I started the session pretty cranky. And then, of course, walking out, I was like, woo! And we just had our vibrations like so high and just ended up having the best day. So thank you for that.
Wow.
But I wanted
I remember that day.
Oh, it was one of the best days we've ever had together.
Oh my gosh.
And I feel like the stuff that you talked about in that class, which was a very long time ago, so you might not remember, but all about like the EMFs and energetic protection and making sure, you know, you're not picking up on too many other people's feelings, or if you are, you're cleansing yourself. And I definitely want to talk about that, because I know, for example, so many people will sleep with their phones like right next to their heads or right next to their beds.
So funny.
I didn't even know you did that, but I believe it.
Right under my head.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. It's fine. But can you talk about the effects of EMFs, what they are, and how to protect yourself from all kinds of different energies?
Sure. So, you know, the body in general is, it's electrical in nature. We are energy, and everything around us is energy. So I talked earlier about the things that we can control within our bodies that create heavy energy. So our thoughts and emotions, but there are so many other things outside of our bodies that we come up against day to day that we're not even conscious are actually affecting us. So the easiest example to connect to is, have you ever walked into a room and someone's been in a really bad mood and you can feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Times they can just suck you right into their mood, and then you walk away and you feel like you're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
That energy is so strong. And oftentimes wherever the energy is the strongest is where the pull is. So this is why, on a separate note, I think it's so important to really work on your energy and be able to hold your vibration, because then you affect everything outside of you as opposed to being drawn into whatever's happening around you.
Okay.
So can hold that high vibration of love, and someone shows up and they're in a bad mood, you don't get pulled into it. You might actually be able to bring them up to your vibration. But outside of people, there's things all around us. So like Tosh was saying, EMFs. So that is the energy that comes out of electronics, for example. So that vibration of phone, you know, having it under your pillow or next to you, it's pulling on your energy. It's, you know, coming into the body, and depending on what that vibration is, it really does affect your energy and can ultimately cause illness. So there's all sorts of magnets and things you can put to deflect it on your phone.
And there's scientific research about that too, like tons of scientific research. So that's not just even tons,
Sure. Yeah.
And I think more and more will be coming out, like I said, in the next decade or so, but even electrical towers, if you live near, you know, I don't even know what they're called. Like, you know, have you seen those places where there's like all the silver electrical?
Absolutely. Yes.
powers, like that's a really strong pull on your energy. And once you actually start to know your energy and connect to your energy, you can start to feel different pulls on it. And you get more and more sensitive. So you know when it's not feeling good and what to avoid. Wow. But there's people, when you were saying, Tosh, that gut feeling, you can walk up to someone and just be like, that is not, that energy doesn't feel good. I'm going to take a step back, or I'm going to protect myself from it. And protection can just come from awareness. Yeah. That's the best way to actually start to learn how to protect yourself, is to have the awareness that an energy isn't good for you. And then when you have that awareness, you can either walk away from it, or you can start to learn how to shut down your energy in order to not take on that person's energy. And that's a practice, and that just takes time, and that takes awareness and being with it. And it's not something that I can really put words to. But practically, what I like to do at times is to visualize a bubble around me. And then I set an intention around that bubble. So my intention is usually to only allow in energy that is positive, that's for my highest good. Energy follows intention. So our intention and speaking that intention is a really strong way of creating stuff, of manifesting. So just being with that intention to create the bubble, putting your energy behind it and believing it, is actually going to create that space for you.
Beautiful. I was going to ask that because, you know, as I'm learning more, you know, it's easy to, not easy, but there's ways that we can learn to raise our own vibration and change our energy. But then what happens when we go out into the world? Because I can't, you know, always just sit in my room and, you know, within my perfect space of energy, you know, I have to interact with people.
The ultimate test.
The ultimate test. And yeah, I love the imagery of the bubble, because then it's not so confining. It's like I can see the world around me. I can interact with it. I can touch it, but with a barrier, like there's just this little barrier that protects me. I think that's beautiful. I'm going to actually try that today. Yeah.
One other thing that I can suggest too is the more grounded we are in our own energy, the less we'll be influenced and affected by other people's. So doing a grounding exercise before you leave the house is also really powerful. I love to imagine I'm a tree, and then I've got roots coming from the bottom of my feet, and I imagine planting them really deep in the earth and connecting to that earth energy. And I'll send energy up my body, and then I'll release energy down towards the earth. And when I really get grounded and in my physical body, then it's a lot easier to feel protected, to feel in my own space and not be affected by energies that are up here and kind of crazy.
Wow. I mean, it's funny. That makes so much sense. Even on a physical level, I'm having a revelation as we're listening to both of you talk and hearing this. It's funny how even on an energetic level, like physical ailments, I never thought about it in terms of energy, but like I've noticed, for instance, with my neck issues, when it's flaring up, I have such a low tolerance for things that irritate me, things I'm like so...
That's where you hold it, is in the neck. That's usually like stubborn emotions, not wanting to see other viewpoints. Not that you're, you know, stubborn and don't want to see other viewpoints, but my neck is always stiff too. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's
I cut
like,
you off. Sorry.
No, please. And it's funny how when that's like, but, and also I think what I'm getting at too is like, even before that, if you have a physical limitation, it's like your energy, so much energy has to go to just be able to like get through that pain, that then I have so much less energy to like raise my vibration or protect myself from someone else. So like the importance of doing this energy work to clear out, because I refuse to accept that we were born to live in pain. Like I know so often we're told that I've been told like I have bone spurs in my neck, degenerated disc, there's nothing that can be done. And I don't accept that, because we can't have been born to live in this pain. So there's got to be something beyond that.
It's there. It teaches us. It's letting us know. And it's interesting because it's like when you're holding all these emotions in your body, the emotions are telling you something to begin with. And if you don't deal with the emotions, I think Meredith has already said, it's like they show up in your body.
Over time.
Yeah. And it's, I've had instances where I'll look at people and I'll see different things. Like, for example, a guy may be really slumped over. And to me, that's not always, but that's him protecting his heart. You're literally hunching your back. And I'll do that sometimes too. If I'm in a griefy spot, griefy, made up a word,
grief love it.
Spot or super depressed, like I'll notice I'm hunching more because it's almost that like natural form of protection.
Oh.
And so I often think, okay, maybe that person is dealing with an issue related to their heart, like emotionally, that
makes
they're
sense.
Not possibly conscious of or, you know, knowing that it's affecting their body as well. So
call me out. You were about to say something you saw about me.
Oh, no, just with your, we've talked about it before on the show, but just with your
My jaw.
Swollen jaw on the right side.
Uh-huh.
I had noticed that she had, well, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, she had noticed. Yeah, we've told the story
so
5 million
times,
but it's so pertinent to this. And I would love your take on this too, Meredith. So I was saying that my right side's my bad side because it looks different. And she was looking at me and she's like, actually, you're right. There's a visible difference.
I did not say it's your bad side.
No, she didn't say it was my bad side. She was
I
not.
I noticed there was a difference.
She said there's a difference. And she's staring at me and she's like, you know, it almost looks like it's swollen. Like you almost like you might grind your teeth on your right side. I said, I do grind my teeth on my right side. My dentist told me that I do. So wild that she just knew that by looking at me. And she suggested tapping, which I've said a million times I thought was ridiculous at first. I'm like, that is, what are you talking about? So, but I started tapping and got so many revelations about I don't in the moment always speak up for myself with loved ones. And I had recently been not doing that. And I think I store it in my jaw, my mouth, and it's making my jaw tight. And so I would love to learn more about things like the neck and what that represents, because I know so many people just in my life personally with shoulder and neck problems. Mm-hmm. I mean,
throat chakra, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's throat chakra. So that's the expression of your truth, the expression of who you are. It's speaking your truth. So that makes sense with your family.
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of times, you know, people think speaking their truth is just this vomiting information. But it's actually, you know, between the heart, the throat is between the heart and the mind. So it's really about being able to express yourself with compassion and thoughtfulness. And a lot of times when we don't feel like we can do that, we shut down. And also there can be times of fear and whatnot, but really being conscious of who are you not speaking your truth to? When does it show up for you? And just starting to create an awareness around those patterns will allow you to make different choices. And then in the moment, you'll recognize it and say, oh, I'm actually not speaking this. How can I speak this with compassion and thoughtfulness? And you just practice. And then you start to clear that throat chakra area.
Wonderful.
I think you also brought up a great point about balance without even directly saying it, because you're talking about sort of word vomiting. You know, it doesn't mean speaking your truth, but that could maybe represent like an overactive chakra, because there's underactive and then there's overactive.
Oh.
And you want to be in that place of balance where it's all aligned.
Okay.
Absolutely. And within each chakra, we have areas that we're really balanced in. And then we have other areas where it's excessive. There's too much energy there, or blocked where there's too little. And again, the first step is really the awareness of what's going on with you. And then for some people, their throat chakra is really overactive. So they're constantly talking, constantly, constantly. And then it's recognizing, oh, that is coming from, you know, a space of maybe insecurity or something else. So recognizing and then bringing back to balance, like Tosh said, it's really about looking at the whole system and finding those areas that are out of balance and being able to bring the whole body, the whole energy system into balance so that we have a consistent flow of energy through all the chakras.
Wow. That's beautiful. And how can someone go about, is it important to see an energy healer, specifically a practitioner? How can someone find out if there may be an imbalance and what to do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're so disconnected in general from our energy. Like I said, we're not really taught to understand our systems. So I think going to someone to help with that is really important. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be really careful about who you let into your energy field. Yeah. And there are so many healers these days. It's like every 10 minutes, someone's getting a Reiki certification and becoming an energy healer. And I think you need to trust who you go to have a really good reference of someone, because what people don't realize, it's almost like going to a doctor. You know, you don't want to go to a surgeon that just started doing surgery 5 minutes ago and learned in a 3-hour course, right? You want someone that actually knows what they're doing. They have experience. You trust them with your energy. And I think because this is a relatively new thing for people, they don't realize the importance of that. Mm. So I think it's very important to work with someone, but someone that you actually can trust.
Okay. That makes so much sense. And I think that kind of brings me to another question, which might be a little poignant, but I think it's something that people listening maybe are wondering or thinking with any healing modality. You know, I know in the traditional, you know, medical profession, there are regulatory boards to kind of uphold specific ethical standards. And there are still, you know, instances of malpractice and, you know, all of these different things. And I think sometimes people have concerns about, well, how is this regulated? How do I know that this is an ethical healer or practice? So like, without specific regulatory boards, how can people really be certain that who they're going to or the modality that they're trying to heal with is something that's safe?
I think it all comes down to word of mouth, really, in this area. It's going to someone that has been referred to you by someone that you trust, someone that's had the work, someone whose life has actually changed and benefited from it. And I don't do any kind of advertising, because I feel like for someone to find me off of the internet or something like this, it just doesn't really make sense to me. I want somebody to come to me from someone that's had amazing results and believes in it and knows that they can trust me, because then we'll be starting from a space of trust and I can actually get deeper into their energy once I know that they trust me and are open to it. So that's a second point. Okay. That you're not going to really be trusting if you just find someone randomly. You might not feel as comfortable.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that question and I love that answer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have no other questions. I feel like this is so good.
I
Do
feel
you
like
have
this,
any more questions? Do you have
anything
you want to
say? I mean, I have personal questions.
Of course. We could talk forever.
What's
about
my
this.
Energy like?
I have a lot of heart energy. I can feel it.
What'd you say?
I said, you have a lot of heart energy. You're very easy to connect to. I can really like, there's a joy in you that I feel. Yeah.
That's the thing when you're not familiar with these, I've said this to so many of the healers that we've spoken with. It's like, you do feel exposed and kind of naked because there's no hiding, but it's not bad. It kind of then brings your awareness to where am I at? Just inherently, immediately boom off the bat, because you know that who you're speaking to can kind of see what's going on. So I think it's been a little uncomfortable,
it's
but
so
not bad. It's just so new for me.
I love watching.
Thank you for speaking so eloquently and answering our questions and making me feel very comfortable. I feel very comfortable talking with you. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Where can people find you?
My website is realhealings.com, and every quarter I do a series of courses which involve energy work, also uncovering your patterns, and then I give you the tools to be able to heal yourself. This is one other thing that I wanted to say that I think
is really important.
So many healers have you come to them, they work on you, and what I realized in my personal practice was people would come to me, I would clear their energy, and then they would come back to me, whether it was like a week later or a month later or a year later, and they would have the same energetic blocks in the same chakras. Mm. I realized the patterns were actually recreating over and over the same energy blockages in the body. So I created courses to actually help people to uncover what those patterns are while doing energy work simultaneously.
Wow.
And then I give you the tools to be able to keep your energy in balance. And also when you start to like feel it going out of balance, you know what to do to bring it back into balance. So I really want to empower people to be able to handle their own healing, to take care of themselves. I don't want people reliant on coming back to me every month. I actually want to raise the vibration of the planet and get as many people as possible to understand their energy and be able to vibrate in a space of love, which will attract people that are in fear into a different space.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's really what I do in my courses. People can sign up on my mailing list and find out about all my special events.
Incredible. I'll be signing up. Can't wait.
Yay.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Mer. I love you to pieces. You know this.
Thank you, Meredith. Nice to meet you.
So thank you guys so much for watching. We'll definitely be doing an after show on this and talking a little bit more. So join us for that if you're interested. And we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for this episode.
We hope you gained some valuable insight and maybe learned something new.
If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. And don't forget to follow us on social media at The Heart of Healing Show.
Till next time.
Mwah.